is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center.
Your God.
All my days on earth I will await. The moment that I see you face to face. 'Cause nothing in this world can satisfy. 'Cause Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Come on, Yvonne, yes.
I said nothing in this world can satisfy. 'Cause Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Hallelujah.
to step in deeper, step in deeper, step in deeper. Listen, listen, you've been on the outside for too long. You've been in the outer court for far too long. The Holy Spirit is bidding you say, come, 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 come. Draw close, draw close, draw close unto me. Come on, just let the Holy Spirit do what He does. Moving on every heart, changing every life.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, first of all, let me welcome in our online congregation. We generally start at 12 o'clock, but we are late. And all I can say is because you're not here, you missed it. So, if you're within driving distance of 525 Market Street, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and I know we have a lot of internationals that watch, would need to take a flight, but I'm saying if you're close, we're not sending airfare out to anybody. Somebody shout amen. But if you're close, I'm telling you, there is nothing like being in the house of the Lord with the saints when He pours out His Spirit. Come on, somebody in the house. I tell you, we had an experience here this morning. We had an experience, a special visitation. There was a special visitation in this house. Amen. So we thank God. We thank God. Hallelujah. As I always promised you here at Judah, I will never say these words across the pulpit. I won't be long with you. You shall never hear me say that. Amen. So here's what I'm going to do. This is my clock. All right, we're on God's time now. He done wrecked the clocks here about an hour or so ago. Amen. So get your watch, shut it off, shut your buzzers off. We'll be all right. If you got a roast cooking at home, you can have a little burnt offering when you get there. Amen. It's all right. The restaurants will wait on you. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the presence of God? My God. What an outpouring here. I'm telling you, I'm like Isaiah, I'm like a man undone. Man undone, my Lord. But I thank God that He's given me energy to carry on and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. All right. So let me just make one very quick announcement, and then we're going to get to His word. And that is our Facebook ministry has just been growing by leaps and bounds. And if you are a subscriber, if you follow our Facebook page, we recently created a separate Facebook page because our main Facebook page has nearly 18,000 followers on it. However, 90% of them are internationals. Yeah. So, you know, we praise God for that. Amen. So instead of cluttering that page with the local things that we do, we've created a separate Facebook page called Judah Ministries International Worship Center, McKeesport, PA. Amen. So if you follow us, I want to ask you just to go over there and follow that page. If you're watching online, go over to our new page. It's going to be designated just for all the, because how many of you know we do a lot of local events here? We're involved in something all the time. There's a lot going on in this house, and I thank God for the people that He sent here that got the vision to reach outside these walls. Amen? Amen. So, Once again, we have a new Facebook page. I want to encourage you to go and subscribe there. Well, praise God. Today we are going to talk about insulting somebody. It's a little play on words there. Y'all with me? Somebody say insult someone. How many of you know we need to insult some folk today? So I want to talk to you this morning about the role, our role as the church, our role as the people of God in our current day society. In other words, what's our purpose? What's our mission? Our global mandate, as most of you know, is found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19, 20, when it says to go ye into all the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to obey my words. But that's kind of the 30,000 foot view of our mandate. But what about on a personal level? What about in our day-to-day living? What is our purpose as a church? In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus refers to us as the salt of the earth, and also as the light of the world. And speaking of the light, he said that no one lights a candle in their house and puts it under a bushel. That's defeating the purpose, amen? Now in those days, the only purpose for a candle was to light up a dark place. So I'm here to tell you, listen, that's why God uses us and he puts us in dark places. Such as your schoolhouse. Maybe it's your workplace. It could be in your family reunion. Somebody say amen. Amen. Or maybe it's even your own household. Maybe you're the first one saved in your household like I was. I was the first one who came to Christ in our family. So there was a lot of darkness there. Now listen, be careful. Listen, here's what I'm not trying to say that your family's a bunch of heathen engaged in devil worship. We all straight there. But remember this, listen, saints of God, no matter how much you love somebody, family included, if they are living without Christ, they are living in darkness. And the Bible says that men love darkness. They don't want to be around the light. That's why sometimes you don't always get the invitation to certain functions. So God positions us in these places. Why? So that our light might shine and others may see it and be drawn into the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave us two analogies concerning our role in society, our day-to-day living. One is being light in a dark place, and the other is being salt, the salt of the world. And there are many attributes of salt, but this morning, I just want to speak to you quickly about a couple of them. If you have your Bibles, please find Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 11 and 16. Our Father and our God, Lord, we ask now that you would just open our hearts, open our minds, open our spiritual ears, that you would hear what you have to say to us, Lord. Speak clearly to us, Father. Change our hearts, change our minds, change our lifestyles, Father. Let us be transformed even into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in the matchless holy name of Jesus. Come on, somebody in the house, say amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 says, blessed are you when people insult you. Now, how about that? Blessed are you when people persecute you and say falsely, and I'm sorry, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Here's the key phrase, though, because of me. It's not talking about people who are cursing you out for your own foolishness, but for the sake of the gospel. Verse 12, rejoice and be glad because Great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So listen, church, this is the reason why the disciples did their happy dance in the book of Acts chapter 5, when after they were flogged, they were beaten, they rejoiced because they were persecuted and found worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus goes on to say in verse 13, he says, you, somebody say you. This is talking about you, Judah. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. I'm not going to exegete that. But listen, honey, don't lose your saltiness. You hear what I'm saying? Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So we're talking about salt this morning, and we want to talk to you about a couple of attributes. First of all, salt in the ancient world was an extremely valuable commodity. Roman soldiers actually were paid sometimes in salt. And maybe you've heard the saying, a man is worth his salt. It dates back to that era when people were paid in salt, because salt in that day had great value. So when Jesus was telling his disciples they were salt, he was telling them that they were of great value. In other words, he was telling them that they were a very expensive commodity to the earth, because you're the salt of the earth. So I want to tell somebody today, as Jesus would tell you today, if you're a disciple of Jesus, you are the salt of the earth. You are a great commodity in this world that we are living in. I don't care, listen, what your mama may have told you. I don't care what your ex-boo may have said to you. Come on, am I talking to somebody? I don't care what society tries to place on you. I'm telling you what your heavenly Father is telling you. And this is where we get our worth. It's from our heavenly Father. Come on, somebody in the house. Look at somebody and say, honey, I'm salty. How many know it's good to be salty? Hallelujah. So number one, it had great value, salt. Number two, prior to refrigeration, and still in some parts of the world today, salt is used as a retardant against rotting. It's used as a restraint against the spoiling of meat. It will slow down the process, church. It will slow down the process of spoiling. However, it will not stop the ultimate decay. So for a time or for a season, the salt will delay the inevitable, but inevitably the meat will spoil. We as the Church of Jesus Christ, believe this or not, are impeding the rotting and the deprivation of man. We are the restraint against the depravity of this generation and of this world. However, we will not restrain the decay forever. But just because of our presence, just because of the presence of the church, or more accurately, just because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the church, just because sin is restrained. If you do not think that that's true, have you ever thought about a churchless United States of America? Have you ever thought about a churchless world? Could you imagine no Bible preaching, Nobody speaking about Jesus. No Christian television or radio. No social media websites or Facebook pages preaching Jesus. No parachurch ministries as such as Samaritan's Purse or the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Could you imagine? No one preaching truth. Nowhere. Could you imagine what the world would be like? Judah, we are, somebody say, we are the salt of the world. Listen, we are restraining all hell from breaking loose today. Jesus wasn't just making a nice analogy. He was speaking absolute truth. Come on, are you following with me? Somebody say amen. Now let me give you a little example. Have you ever been around some folk, maybe at the workplace, at the school, wherever you are, and they know you? And they drop a curse word, and then they immediately look to you and they say, oh, wait, I'm sorry. Yeah. Do I got a witness? Yeah. If you are outspoken about your faith, and you should be, because you don't put your light under a bushel, as Jesus just said, and your friends and your family and your co-workers know that you're in love with Jesus, I'm sure that that has happened to you somewhere along the line. So what happened? It was the Holy Ghost in you that was convicting them. However, honey, listen, if you're a closet Christian and you're living life incognito, then maybe not. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it states that there is a restraint that is holding back the son of perdition. In other words, holding back the man of sin. In other words, holding back the Antichrist. And while there might be slightly different views of this, most theologians believe that the restraint is the hand of God through the church of Jesus Christ. Come on, saints. That is you and I. Listen, Jesus wasn't talking about this building. This building isn't restraining anything. Stained glass doesn't restrain anything. These pews, this microphone doesn't strain anything. It's the Holy Ghost in you and I. However, oh my God, when the rapture takes place, whenever the restraint or the salt is removed, all hell is going to break loose on the earth and things are going to go south quickly. Now remember, the Holy Spirit will never be removed from the earth. Never. He's omnipresent. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because listen, during the 7-year tribulation period, people will still need the power. They'll still need the dunamis to endure the persecution, the imprisonment, the beheadings. Oh, am I talking to somebody? You're going to need to get power from somewhere if you're going to stand for Jesus in that day. During the 7-year tribulation period, people are going to still be calling on the name of Jesus and get saved, because the Bible says all who call on the name of Jesus will be saved. So we thank God that through 7 years, God is going to give grace and mercy to those living through that period. So the Holy Ghost is still going to be drawing people. We read in the 7-year tribulation that there's going to be 144,000 Jews preaching the gospel. We see the two witnesses, and there will be a revival among the Jewish nation. That can't happen without the Holy Ghost. But the church, the ecclesia, is going to be missing. The restraint is going to be missing. When you read the book of Revelation, you read chapters 2 and 3, it's all about the church, the church, the church, the church, the church. In chapter 4, we read that it's caught up. Then from there on, from 6, where the tribulation period starts, all the way till 19, the chapter of 19, Revelation, when the church returns with Jesus, the church is not mentioned. Because we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come on, somebody. So you think there's corruption in these world governments now? Right. Listen, honey, this current U.S. government will look like a study in righteousness compared to what's coming. They'll look like a bunch of choir boys. Not only will corruption be rampant, there will be unequaled hostility toward Christians and Jews. It's already beginning to escalate. Come on, did anybody watch the news? There is a current hostility towards true believers in Jesus Christ in our nation and around the world. But trust me, or more so, listen, trust the word of God. There's a coming loathing toward Christians unequaled since the beginning of time, as Jesus prophesied there will be. Jesus said they will hate you because they hated me first. That's why I always say, listen, if the world is really loving on you, you better check yourself. How else, come on somebody, how else do you explain our federal government who proclaimed Sunday, March 31st as LGBTQ plus visibility day? How else do you, we have a slide for this, Josh, if you could throw that up there. This is a proclamation by the federal government. I didn't put the whole article up there. You could go read it online if you have a barf bag close by. Just in case you forgot, March 31st was Resurrection Sunday. It was formally signed by the president of the United States of America. Can I read just a little bit of this? Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim Resurrection Sunday, are you with me, as Transgender Day of Visibility. I call upon all Americans to join us in lifting up the lives and voices of transgender people throughout our nation to work toward eliminating violence and discrimination based on gender identity. Listen to me, saints of God. This is an all-out assault on Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? This is an all-out assault against God and His holy word. This is an all-out affront, my brother and my, I don't care what your political stripe is. I don't care. This is an all-out assault on the church of Jesus Christ. If you proclaim Jesus, this is an all-out assault on you. Here's a question. Does the LGBTQ plus community really need more visibility in our America today? They already have an entire month called Pride Month. Watch and pray. Open your eyes, church. Open your eyes. As some of you may know, there have been movements trying to successfully moving Christian displays, such as nativity scenes and the Ten Commandments, from courthouses and other public places. Why? Have you ever got salt in an open wound? It burns. Come on, we're talking about salt this morning. Listen, sin is an open wound, and God's word is the salt that burns. But we need that burn because how many of you know salt also disinfects? Has the word of God ever burned you in your place? You need to thank God for that burn because it was trying to clean you up. Nativity scenes and the Ten Commandments are a reminder to the world that the King of Kings named Jesus was born, He was crucified, and He rose again, and He's returning to this earth with a sword and a coming judgment. Come on, somebody in the house, give Him a praise. Saints of God, listen, every law that is broken requires judgment. Except, somebody say, except. if you receive a pardon. Listen, we are all lawbreakers, and that's why we thank God today for Jesus Christ, who took our punishment so that we might receive the pardon. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, thank God for Jesus. Because without Jesus, we're all doomed. But talking about our society, please remind me, what book do we still lay our left hand on when we go to the courthouse? It's the Bible. And then we swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me. See, y'all know this. Today, still today, 21st century, the president is still sworn in on what book? It's the Bible. It's not the Quran. It's not the Book of Mormon. It's not the Watchtower. Is somebody hear what I'm saying here? You see, more and more communities are removing nativity scenes from their town squares because it offends the atheists and the uber liberals. Even in our Pledge of Allegiance, we say one nation under God. Here's a question for you. Why is it that you're allowed to read your Bible and pray openly in a prison cell, but in a public school, it's discouraged and even against the law in some instances? I like what Frederick Douglass said about this. Throw that slide up there, Josh. Frederick Douglass said it this way. He says, it's easier to build strong children than repair broken men. How many of you know we got a whole lot of broken men in our society today? Whole lot of broken brothers. The Bible says it this way. Miss Helene, this is your favorite verse. Train up a child in the way they should go. And when they become old, it won't depart from them. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says it this way. Train up the child in the word of God. So here's what I'm talking about. We need to insult our children. We need to insult our grandchildren. We need to insult our nieces and our nephews. We need to insult the neighborhood children. Is somebody hearing me this morning? The public schools don't want Bible teaching no more. So let me ask you, Mr. and Mrs. Superintendent, how about if you just teach them this one principle? One, just one. Treat others like you want to be treated. How about... Oh, wait. Or might that offend you because that's what Jesus taught? Is that too Christian for you? Or if you want to throw a couple more in there, how about if you teach your students, thou shalt not kill? How about thou shalt not steal? I'm going to speak in current vernacular. Young girls and boys, keep your pants up. Did y'all get a witness there somewhere? Do you know if our society obeyed just one of God's commands or statutes concerning sexuality? Just one. Could you imagine the change in the entire country? Out of wedlock births, people having 4 and 5 kids with 2 and 3. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm talking about God's sexual principles. Let me make it plain for those of you who may not understand what they are, especially if you're watching online. Here's God's rules for sexual intimacy. Number one, it's a man and a woman, a husband and wife, married, period, end of story. Come on, somebody. After that, you don't go outside your marriage. That is called adultery. God teaches clearly against that. I know that might be shaking some folk up here today, but I'm just trying to tell you what the Word of God says, not what society says today. So you keep it in a marriage, and you don't fool around with animals. That's called bestiality. The Bible teaches against that. You don't think that goes on today, honey? When you teach those kind of principles, the world thinks that's radical. Watch this now. What four words are written on every piece of currency that you have?
God we trust.
Come on, say it all together. What is it?
God we trust.
Now listen. If you're watching by this video, if on all your hundreds and fifties and twenties and even tens, fives, it's okay. Ones, that'll be all right too. If you are so offended by "In God We Trust" on your dollar bills, here it is. The address is 525 Market Street. You could send them all here. Come on, somebody. Anybody offended by that on your bills? Bring them my way. I'm all right with it. But even that is being challenged for its constitutionalism and claim to be a violation of the First Amendment, which states in part, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." Listen, the whole idea, Church of God, was the First Amendment was to keep the government out of the church, not the church out of the government.
Yes.
How many of you know we need to insult our government? And it needs some heavy salt. Heavy salt to prevent further corruption. But however, listen, we need some folk that are blood-bought, sanctified, washed by the blood of Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost, and unashamed. And we need courageous men and women of God in there. I'm talking about true disciples of Jesus Christ, not some mamby-pamby folk like Jesus called them, whitewashed tombs, using the term Christian or even reverend just for political points. Our first Congress in the United States of America, listen to this. This is history. They used to have 2 to 3 hour prayer meetings prior to conducting the nation's business. Today, as in the video I showed you here just a couple of weeks ago with Pastor Jack Hibbs praying in the House of Congress. Today, if you pray longer than 90 seconds, if you call God your Father, if you ask for forgiveness for the sins of the nation, if you pray, God forbid, use the name of Jesus, these leftists lose their minds and they begin calling you a bigot and everything else. Do you see how salt burns? We need to insult our Congress. So our nation used to begin with its business with a 2 to 3 hour prayer meeting. Today, it's hard to get even Christians to come to church more than 2 hours per week. Speak, Holy Spirit. I do believe that there is a little bit of salt still in government. There are still some there that claim the blood of Jesus Christ in Washington, D.C. However, when the rapture happens, I'm not really sure how many of them really would go. "In God We Trust" was first inscribed on our coins in one of our nation's darkest hours during the Civil War in 1864. Abraham Lincoln, a God-fearing man, inscribed it, had it done on our bills or on our coins at the height of the Cold War when the United States faced the threat of atheistic communism. The phrase made it on its way to our paper currency. Appearing first on October 1st, 1957, the move came 1 year after a joint resolution passed by the 84th Congress declared, watch this, "In God We Trust" as our national motto of the United States of America. So here's the question. Do you really think "In God We Trust" is our national motto today?
No.
Do you think the current Congress would even pass such a bill and get it signed into law?
No.
Or do you think it would be too offensive to some of their constituents and they're more interested in getting votes than standing in right standing before God? Or do you think our nation's trust is in the stock market or some political ideology or one of the new aspiring politicians that is coming up? Listen, I can't tell you statistically what our nation's trust is in, but I can surely tell you that it's not Jesus Christ. So you can see, church, the assault on godly things is exponentially ramping up in our nation. And that is why the Holy Ghost through the church is still here restraining this sin. The salt, you, I, we are still having an effect in our neighborhoods. Can you imagine when we're raptured up out of here? Let me wrap it up. We as the church, we're the light of the world. We as the church of Jesus Christ, we are the salt of the earth. If we are living the life that we are called to, then we will be restraining sin. I'm not talking about a perfect life. Who in here lives a perfect life? Nobody. Nobody lives the perfect life. I'm talking about living a life that is in pursuit of righteousness, a life that is in pursuit of holiness, a life that is in pursuit of godliness. The question is, what are you pursuing? If we continue to pursue God's kingdom first, as Jesus declared, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Not seek ye second, third, fifth. Where is the kingdom of God on your daily priority? How is your Bible reading? Getting quiet in here, but that's okay. Little salt being spread out, Pastor DeLise. Maybe some folk are getting a little burn going on, but that's a good thing. Say it's a good thing, Pastor. Throw some more salt at me. Go ahead. How's your prayer life? Church is not just another cultural experience, saints of God. This is not just a social club. It's not. God has armed us. Do you know you're armed and dangerous? So we have to question ourselves. What are we pursuing? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And Jesus himself promised us that all our needs would be met. Everything would be added unto. Now, is that God's word or not? That's not Michael's promise to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these other things, your clothing, your food, your shelter, whatever it is, your peace, your joy, will be added unto you. That's his promise to us. Our lives can cause other folks to thirst, and that's what we are to do. Because how many of you know salt also creates thirst? Now, I know we got some people of a certain age in here, and so I might get a witness here. How many of you remember back in the day in the saloons and the taverns, they used to have peanut night? Anybody remember that? Come on, don't be ashamed. You're all right. You're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. It's all right. They used to give free peanuts away. What was the purpose? The salt made you drink a whole lot more. You went in for a peanut, you come out as a lush. How did that happen? Because salt, saints of God, makes us thirsty. Our lives, oh come on, is somebody hearing what I'm saying this morning? Our lives should be causing somebody around us to thirst after righteousness, to thirst after holiness, to thirst after our peace and our joy. They They should want to be like Mike. They should want to be like Joe. They should want to be like Denise. They should want to be like Mary. They should want to be like Jack. Come on, does somebody hear what I'm saying? Yes. Then we could give them something. Oh my God. To quench their thirst. Jesus says, I am the living water. Whoever comes to me, will never thirst again. Come on, somebody in the house. They need a drink of some of that new wine. Listen, Jesus said, I'm going to watch. I'm going to give you so much water that is going to flow out of your belly. Overflow. Why? Because you thirsted. All who thirst after me. So we thank God today. Church, we're called to be the light of the world. We're called to be the salt of the earth. Is there anybody in this house today who's thankful that you drank of the living water? Come on, give our God a praise and stand on your feet with me. Come on, somebody.
I love you. To proclaim the gospel.